Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. December 11, 2022. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, films as duels of propaganda. The movie Farha is a Jordanian historical drama about a Palestinian girl's experience during Israel's War of Independence, which the Palestinians call the Nakba, catastrophe. The film tells the story of a Palestinian girl named Farha who dreams of going to university, but her dreams are shattered when her entire family but her is gunned down by Israeli soldiers. The film was banned in Israel, but it is still aired around the world on Netflix. I believe we can expect many more such films, as well as other means of propaganda to be used against Israel, as the wave is only expected to grow. The truth, be it partial, whole, non-existent, or content-related, has nothing to do with the world's acceptance of such stories. Since the world hates Israel, anything that taps into that feeling gets a standing ovation from critics and audiences alike. Films are a powerful means of carrying a message. America has been using it since the dawn of cinema. Think of such ideals as the American Dream, the superhero, the wickedness of Soviet Russia, or the romanticism of the Wild West. None of them would have become so entrenched in our psyches were it not for Hollywood and the American film industry. The fact that the story of Farha is based on legend that was created in order to promote the Palestinian narrative is irrelevant from the perspective of the viewers. They absorb the message just as viewers have been absorbing Hollywood's messages. The fact that the film is a tool of propaganda will not diminish its impact on the viewers whatsoever. Israel, too, can produce films that advance the Israeli narrative and present counter-propaganda. However, as with everything else that Israel has tried in order to explain itself to the world, the films will have no impact, no one will believe our narrative, and everyone will adopt the Palestinian claims without even bothering to verify them. That said, since films are a powerful tool of propaganda, I think we can and should use them, but use them to promote a message that will change people's views about Israel. That message has nothing to do with the Palestinians, but only with ourselves. Because the world behaves toward us, as we behave toward each other, if we improve our behavior toward each other, the world will improve its behavior toward us. The Israeli society is plagued with division and loathing. The country is divided into factions that simply detest one another. That abhorrence projects itself to the entire world, and the world reacts with abhorrence toward Israel. We may think that our internal relations are an internal Israel affair, but nothing could be further from the truth. Since the inception of our nation, we have been at the center of the world's attention. The reason that antisemitism has never died proves that the world has never stopped looking at the Jews and condemning them for their sins. And the only sin we have ever committed is in hating one another. When we care for one another and exhibit solidarity and mutual responsibility, the world admires us, and comes to learn from us, how to unite. When we dislike each other, the world hates us, and reproves us, for spreading hatred. It does not explicitly state that it is our duty to spread unity, but the fact that it regards Israel and Jews as warmongers proves that it expects from us the opposite. Therefore, if we want to spread unity, we should direct our efforts toward internal unity, and films are a great tool for this purpose. Just as Farha is a drama story, we can produce films that show Israel as united, and what life in Israel will look like if we are united. Of course, they will be imaginary since we are anything but united, but they would create a positive narrative and enable public discourse that focuses on unity rather than on slander and division. Because the world's view of us depends on our view of each other, we are in a unique position to determine the world's opinion about us. We can choose what entertainment to produce, and what message these tools of entertainment convey. Since every media carries a message and tries to influence its audience, we should consciously direct the messages of the media we consume to portray the message that will help us, and not one that will hurt us. And there is only one such message that will help us. Unity and solidarity among Israelis is the only cure for the state of Israel, and for Israel's status in the world. As an offshoot of improving Israel's position, Jews around the world will feel the relief, as anti-Semitism will subside. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, Israel's non-existent constitution. Following the negotiations on the composition of Israel's new government after the latest general election, the question of Israel's constitution came up again. Despite having a vibrant democratic regime, where even anti-Zionist parties participate in the election and even in the government, Israel has never managed to agree on a constitution and has remained without one since its establishment on May 14, 1948. This would not be such a problem were it not for the fact that over the past several years, affairs that undermine the trust of Israelis in the country's justice system have emerged. The problem is particularly acute when it comes to debates over the authority of the government to legislate versus the authority of the Supreme Court to revoke laws it deems unjust or unconstitutional. Some of the ideas concerning Israel's constitution came from other countries, such as the UK, Germany, the US, and Canada. However, something about those foreign ideas has always felt amiss. As a result, none has been adopted. I believe there is a good reason we did not embrace any of the Western constitutions. The State of Israel is a Jewish state, and the Jews have had a constitution since their first day as a nation. In fact, only once they accepted the constitution were they declared a nation. If we adopt it now, we will immediately regain our stability and peace. The ancient Israeli society was based on solidarity, mutual responsibility, and giving to the poor, all of which resulted from caring for others. The motto of Israel's constitution, and indeed its system of laws, was "Love your neighbor as yourself." Israel's authentic constitution was not meant to organize people's present lives. Rather, it was meant to change people's nature from self-serving to considerate and caring, and lead them to the very purpose of their lives, namely to love others as themselves. Ancient Hebrews were taught to live not by laws that follow humans' ideas, but laws that derive from the most fundamental laws of existence, the laws of giving and receiving, and the ways by which they interact. Since other nations did not formulate their constitutions accordingly, Israel's government since its inception instinctively felt that something was not quite right in the proposed constitutions. However, because we have already lost the ability to love others, and did not know its critical importance to our people, leaders felt that no constitution was the right one, although they could not articulate it or explain what was the right constitution for Israel. In order for Israel to rebuild its society and establish peace within its borders and with its neighbors, Israel must return to its roots. We must remind ourselves of the sublime goal of our people, to bring unity and solidarity to the world through our example, and work on ourselves until we become that model. Just as during the inauguration ceremony at the foot of Mount Sinai, when we received the law and committed to obeying it, the people of Israel must first adopt their original constitution, the commitment to love others, and then we will be able to draft a proper constitution. If we reverse the order and draft a constitution before we have committed ourselves to caring for each other, the ego will take over and we will become a tyranny. If we want to thrive in a free land of free people, we must strive toward one and only goal, to care for others no less than we care for ourselves. What is real life? But the righteous, who engage in Torah and mitzvot, commandments, not in order to receive reward but to bestow contentment upon their Maker, thus refine their bodies and invert their vessels of reception to the form of bestowal, Baal HaSulam, the study of the Ten Sefirot, Inner Observation, Chapter 4, Item 17. Question: what is this methodology Torah and mitzvot? Answer: this methodology explains how, with the help of some miracle, of some special upper force called the Torah and Mitzvot, commandments, people can turn themselves from the desire to receive into the desire to bestow. By this they become similar to the Creator. The Torah is a methodology of receiving light. That is, we can invite upon ourselves the influence of the upper light so that it changes our nature from reception to bestowal. This is what will be called life. From Cab TV's The Study of the Ten Sefirot, Tess, November 20, 2022. The woman's role in maintaining a good relationship, Kabbalah and relationships. Tips on how to build successful relationships based on the spiritual principles and understanding of our nature. By praising her man, a woman helps him develop and strengthens their relationship. Today the divorce rate is astounding and most relationships are short-lived. Because of this, it is very important for people to find out how they can maintain a successful marriage. In order for a woman to understand how to best fulfill her part of the relationship, she must understand the nature of a man. Then she will be wise and able to create a lasting and loving relationship. But how can a woman come to understand a man's nature? After all, men and women are so different. In fact, the right understanding can come from the right actions. A woman should express her appreciation of her man, letting him know that he is special to her, that he is great, and doing this often. Then she will realize what he needs from her, and what kind of a connection there should be between them. She will see that a man needs motherly care, praise, and admiration. Despite being masculine, big, and macho, a man actually has a great need for sympathy. And if a woman gives this to him, he won't be able to leave her. In fact, it's similar to how a woman acts with a child. She tells him, "You're wonderful, you did such a great job, you're big, you can do it, you're special, you're the most unique person in the entire world, you, you, you." And this makes the man remain with her. But most importantly, she should do this with love. A man desires to hear this all the time, because men really are like children, and they often see a woman as a mother. And even though this kind of a relationship may seem imbalanced, it will become balanced out because it will make the man want to rise up, to show how great he is. It will awaken his desire to become greater in a positive way, rather than in an overbearing, negative way. From Generation I to Generation We. Kabbalah on Education. Kabbalah comes to the rescue to today's education and parenting crisis. Children's games should teach them how to win by connecting with each other. Back in the 80s, Douglas Copeland popularized the term Generation X, referring to the new generation. This quickly became a hot topic, and a pop culture formed around the notion, seeking to decipher the unique qualities of the new generation. Today, we live at the time of Generation I, a generation that is typically concerned with one thing, itself. Kabbalah suggests that the best way to get from Generation I, where we feel alienated and hostile, to Generation We, where we feel connected, safe and connected, is through a new kind of education. Believe it or not, one of the principal means of education is children's games. The games children play today, in the Generation I, are all about winning by being the fastest or the smartest, or stated simply, better than everyone else. To go from this to Generation We, parents can encourage their children to play games where the winner is the one who is best at connecting with others. From a young age, children will learn about the benefits of being connected with others and will develop a mindset that is harmonious with nature, where everything is already harmoniously interconnected. In addition to showing children how we triumph by connecting with others, these games should also show that without such a connection, we fail. The games will show the child that being the best, triumphing, and winning, can only happen when everyone wins. This will help the children make that inner transition from I to we, and they will win together with everyone else. Such games and educational systems can pave the way to a new, interconnected mentality, suitable for the 21st century. Our times, of growing globalization along with growing egoism, necessitate that a transition will take place from the I mentality to the we mentality. Through games that enable such a transition, children and parents alike will learn a fundamental truth, that winning can only happen together with everyone, not alone. A woman's happiness, today it's more than family and career. Kabbalah and women. An insight into women's inner quest and spiritual development. Women demand the spiritual status equal to that of men. We are living in a very special time. Children leave home at a young age, relationships between couples are not as close as they used to be. Today, women are in the same social circles and have the same power as men and in many cases even more. As a result, the feeling of emptiness and attempts to find fulfillment and happiness are no longer related to family or even a woman's professional life. Although it is still important to a woman to be content with her husband, children or grandchildren, as well as with her professional life, this is not enough for her. Her ego is so developed that it breaks through the fences of the family, the workplace and even the nation. It wants spirituality. This yearning for spiritual fulfillment has increased during the last 15 to 20 years. Before the current generation, there were a few cases here and there, but it did not occur by the thousands as it is today. These days remind us of the times of Abraham, who formed the first Kabbalistic group in ancient Babylon. In those ancient times, the women who attained spirituality were by the men's side. They were on a spiritual level equal to that of the men. The great prophetesses, such as Dvorah, Huldah and others reached spiritual levels even greater than the men's. People lived in realization of godliness, and children were taught these truths from an early age. But after humanity's decline from spirituality, we rarely saw women Kabbalists. There were a few who reached spirituality, from the times of the destruction of the Second Temple until our generation, but they were a limited number. Today, however, whether we like it or not, we are going back to that same early state in which humanity was united as one man in one heart. Because of this, women have to be on the same spiritual level as men. In other words, the spiritual downfall of humanity that led to the devaluation of the woman's spiritual status has to be remedied in our days. Hence, today, we have to answer the demand that comes from so many women. It isn't just a demand but a true need. A woman must get out of being under men's authority. Comment, Victoria writes, I see that 80% of the main questions about happiness, how not to worry, and how to organize one's life, are asked by women. Will a woman ever be truly happy in this world? My response, I don't think so. A woman has a special intuition for what happiness means. To make the world happy means to make it perfect in general. A woman must get out from under the authority of men. She must not obey the male mind, strength, and spirit. If she starts listening to herself, she will find the right solution. A woman is the world. A woman is something that gives birth, develops, raises children, and does everything to soften our world. Question: You said that until everything is perfect, a woman will not feel happy. Does it mean it must reach its ideal form after all? Answer: Today she is playing what a man taught her, the role of a harsh woman, allegedly striving for beauty, for wealth, or something else. In fact, the depth of a woman's nature is security and development. Question: For others or herself? Answer: Everyone. Otherwise, she will not provide herself with those either. Question: Does she think in such terms, for everyone? Answer: Yes. Although today a woman may be very egoistic, a proper upbringing will help her to see the truth that her actual realization can only be in connection, in alignment, and in rapprochement with others. Then there will be peace. From CabTV's News with Michael Lateman, October 13, 2022. The condition for coming closer to the Creator. Question: what does the reflected light, which is used as a receiving kli, mean? Answer: reflected light is the desire that can reject pleasure. Although it desires it very much, in order to be closer to the Creator and not for pleasure, it pushes it away. As a result, it turns out that the rejection of the upper light, or the rejection of the desire, or the restriction of the desire, is the condition under which the creation comes closer to the Creator. Question: the reflected light is the pleasure from bestowal. If I bestow to someone and enjoy it, this is the reflected light. Is it ever felt within a person? Answer: of course. Pleasures and sufferings are felt only within a person. From CabTV's The Study of the Ten Sefirot, Tess, November 20, 2022. Michael Lateman, on Quora: why did God create the heavens and the earth? There are two forces in existence. One, the creation, which is the desire to receive and enjoy the light of the Creator, and, two, the Creator, which is the light itself, the desire to bestow pleasure, enjoyment, fulfillment and delight. While the creation is equal to the light, that is wishing to receive the light with an intention to bestow contentment upon the Creator, then it receives the light. However, if the creation intends to receive the light with a self-aimed intention, that is to please itself alone, then it is opposite to the Creator. In such a state, the creation feels none of the intended pleasure that the Creator wishes to impart, and instead feels complete darkness, a black copy of the light. Such a state is called this world or our world. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth means that the Creator created the qualities of bestowal and reception. Why? It is in order for us to host a combination of these qualities, and to have the ability to exercise our free choice about which of them to use: a desire to receive and enjoy with an self-aimed intention to receive, or a desire to receive with an intention to bestow like the Creator.